Man, I tell you, sometimes you just feel like the wheels fall off when you go out of town, right? I've heard through the grapevine that someone from our congregation's been going around half naked, getting posted on TV. I'm investigating it. I haven't found out who that is yet, but I did want y'all to know that I am on it this morning. If you looked at your bulletin this morning, it says Hunter's preaching. His statement was, "The people have spoken." Desiree was wondering if I knew how to mic myself up again. Wow, a lot happens when you go out of town. But here we are, back to, oh, one more thing. I gotta get all this off my chest early, right? But I will say this in a positive way. You know, Hunter felt a little dumped on because of the two topics that I left him while I was out of town. I do want you all to know that I gave him a choice to do something totally different. So I do want you guys to know that. But I also feel like God's timing sometimes doesn't make sense in our world, but it makes perfect sense in his world. So there is probably a presentation that Hunter gave you over the last 2 weeks that needed to come from him, not me. And so I hope and pray that you heard it, whatever that was. So thank you for giving him your ear over the last couple weeks. As we move forward, we go into an interesting one a little bit, oaths. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 33 this morning. And this, I'll be honest with you, when I first kind of got to this one, I was like, you know, when I think of oaths, I think of a guy like Jephthah who, oddly enough, it uses a different word there, which we'll talk about briefly. But when he's in Judges, and when he talks about making a vow, you know, God, I make this vow that God, if you will deliver them into my hands, if you will give me this victory, the next thing that walks out of my house, the next thing that comes out of my house, I will sacrifice it. And I think about that, and I'm like, that just doesn't, you know. I probably thought that a time or two with my boys, but, you know, I never went that far. And it was his daughter that comes out. And wow, how painful that was in that moment. And so I kind of had a disconnect a little bit from this idea of oaths because I think it's kind of old school a little bit. And this is, as Jesus goes through, this is the first one. He doesn't really go to a specific command. He's actually drawing from three different texts, Leviticus 19, 12. I'm going to read these, but if you write notes, write these down, because I'm probably not going to give you enough time to flip there. Leviticus 19 and 12, "You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Numbers chapter 30, starting at about verse 2, "If a man vows a vow to the Lord, or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." Then Deuteronomy 23, 21 through 23. "If you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay fulfilling it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from vowing, you will not be guilty of sin. You should be careful to do what has passed from your lips. For you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth." And so I'm fixing to read this text out of Matthew chapter 5. But before I did, I wanted to kind of set this precedent of where Jesus is drawing from. He's taking this idea from those three passages, and he's going to culminate those, as you guys heard over the last few weeks, and as you guys have heard me say over the last several months, he's taking from the old and bringing it to life. He's breathing life of an understanding, an expectation, a desire for his children, and he's speaking to this intimate group of his disciples, and they are hearing who he is calling them to be. And so I want you to understand that as he's speaking, he's not negating the Old Testament. He's actually drawing from it. And, you know, Hunter, you've heard Hunter say in class, the value of the Old Testament. And man, I can't tell you that if we don't have a genuine understanding and appreciation of the Old Testament, it's going to skew our understanding of the New Testament. And I say that to say in the Sermon on the Mount, that we've been in for the last several months. If you don't reflect into the Old Testament, you're going to discount the Sermon on the Mount like I did for over half my life. Because it's going to be going, but Jesus. But Jesus, right? We have this escape clause, if you will. I used to call it the just in case. I always wanted to do a sermon called just in case and carry a briefcase with me. This is my just in case. What do you have in your just in case? Just in case you fail. Just in case you sin. What's in your just in case? And sometimes we have this escape clause, Jesus, and so we quit being intentional with who we are in life. Does this resonate with anybody, or is this just me that does this? We kind of walk around casually in life, not really paying much evidence or time or attention to sin because we've got Jesus. And so we quit living out the faith that God has called us into intentionally. And so I'm going to tell you all this morning that this section of text that we're going to go over this morning, I had really kind of discounted for most of my life. And I will tell you thus far in the Sermon on the Mount, this is the one that's been the most convicting to me. Because I've done this. I've done it. And when I hear it and see a presentation on it that's different, man, it's convicting to me. So let's read this text this morning. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old. This is verse 33 of chapter 5. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black or non-existent. I added that part. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. So let's, as we break this down, I want us to appreciate a few thoughts. A vow, a nadir, from the Hebrew language, is people making a promise to God. An oath is a promise between people. Making an oath of between people oftentimes would have culminated a deal, a transaction, if you will. And so, you know, it's saying, this is how you've heard it before, and I'm telling you, don't even do it. I'm telling you that I don't think it's a good idea to even do it. And by Jesus' day, the tradition, there was already a tradition that was a century or two old. And they had quit speaking the name of God out loud. They had quit doing it. And so all of a sudden it put in conflict their oaths. Because oftentimes an oath would be made in the name of Yahweh. And so if they're no longer going to use the name out loud of Yahweh, they had to think of a different way in order to speak an oath. So y'all stay with me. It's a little bit of the history lesson in it all. This is the Old Testament coming out. And so instead of being able to go, I promise or I make this commitment in the name of Yahweh or by the name of Yahweh, instead of being able to do that, they quit saying Yahweh. So they started using terminology that was in close relationship with God. And so their oath might say, I swear by the heavens, or I swear by the temple, something in close relationship to God instead of saying God himself. But in that ideology, in that ability or capability to start swearing by something other than God's name himself, it also gave them the thing humans love the most, loopholes. We humans love loopholes. And so they could say, well, I swore by the temple, But not the gold that's sacred in the temple. Therefore, I don't have to keep this promise. Or I swore by this, but not by this. And therefore, I don't have to keep that. I don't have to be held accountable to that. Let me ask y'all a question. This is part of the conviction, because Lana and I just went through this a week ago. And I came to the realization in my life I do this often. How many of y'all say, I promise, and then don't? Why do we do that? Why do we have to feel like we have to put this emphasis on something? So many times in our life, this text, I'm telling you, it's so convicting to me, because I need you to hear that sometimes what Jesus is saying at the very end of this is he's saying, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. Let your character stand for itself, but quit drawing from somebody else's character to emphasize your inability to have it. Let that sink in for a second. If I have to swear by something outside of me, I'm going to garner who they are or what that is to put an emphasis on what I'm supposed to be. Y'all hear that? I'm going to read a quote by Dallas Willard. Actually, before I do, this Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 16, is kind of what we just talked about a little bit in terms of this oath. I want to make sure I hit that so you see the scriptural reference to that. Jesus talking to the Pharisees. Woe to you blind guides who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he's bound by his oath. See, because they've put these guards up of if you swear by this, it doesn't mean anything. But if you swear by the gold of the temple, now the gold is sacred. Therefore, it does mean something. For which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that's on the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind men. For which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? For whoever swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Dallas Willard, I'm going to read this twice because it's a lot to take in, says this in terms of this text. The essence, and I really want you guys to hear, that's why I'm going to read it twice, but I'm going to preface it a little bit. I really want you to hear his take on this text. I don't often put these quotes down, but this one impacted me deeply. And as a result, I took it down word for word to present it to you all this morning. The essence of swearing oaths that Jesus targets here is about invoking something or someone else, especially God, to make your words seem more significant and more weighty. The aim is to impress others with your seriousness or your piety so that you get what you want. It's a device of manipulation. This is convicting. I hope y'all know that. I've told y'all before, when I preach, I'm preaching to myself first. It's a device of manipulation designed to override the input or judgment of others in order to possess them for our purposes. It's manipulation, or as we say in our culture, it's a spin. And Jesus says it's evil instead of loving. And honoring others with truthfulness, the intent is to get one's way by verbal manipulation of the thoughts and choices of others. I want to read that one more time. The essence of swearing oaths that Jesus is targeting in this section of Scripture is about invoking something or someone else, especially God, to make your words seem more significant and more weighty. The aim is to impress others with your seriousness or your piety so that you get what you want. It's a device of manipulation designed to override the input or judgment of others in order to possess them for our purposes. It's a manipulation, or as we say in our culture, it is spin. And Jesus says it's evil instead of loving and honoring others with truthfulness. With truthfulness, the intent is to get one's way by verbal manipulation of the thoughts and choices of others. One way that this applies, and the way that it gets expressed in the practice Jesus targets, is the way we borrow from one's importance or honor. We borrow the importance of honor or honor of someone else to bolster my lack of integrity. I swear on this. I promise on that. It's saying, I am not trustworthy. Jesus is saying, let your yes be yes. Be a person when people hear you say yes, or when people hear you say, I will do this, or I won't do this. Be a person that can be taken at your word and allow your yes to be yes and your no to be no. Because unfortunately, we have a tendency to want to borrow honor and integrity from other entities, from God, from other people, from other circumstances, to make us seem valid for our own purposes. And oftentimes we make those commitments with zero desire to keep them if things don't work out very well. I'll let you get that. Do you hear that? If things don't go just so, I'm not going to keep that oath. I'm not going to keep that promise. When people kept oaths and swore by the temple or by the heavens, only to understand that there was a way out, it was like the ancient form of crossing your fingers behind your back. It was saying, I promise I'll do this, but I've got my fingers crossed, so I've got an exit strategy. And this is kind of the idea that Jesus is talking about. Oaths became something of almost, what's the point? Because as long as you feel like there's an exit, as long as you feel like there's a loophole, what does your word actually mean? It doesn't mean anything. And so instead of crossing our fingers behind our back, Jesus is saying, don't even bother doing oaths. Don't even bother going to that place, because in that, there's no value in it. It's Jesus' basic point. If I have to manipulate you in order to make myself seem more trustworthy, there's a fundamental breakdown between us, between you and I. You see, because this is talking about relationships between people. And if I have to do this, there's something wrong. Y'all see that? And you know what normally is wrong? Trust has been violated. Trust has been violated. If I can't be taken at my word anymore, and I have to place some higher value on what I'm saying, it's because I have not done a good job of making my word important or trustworthy. It's like the old mafia man that you know is not reliable, that you know is not trustworthy, says, I'm my mother. He's saying, I know you can't trust me, but maybe you can trust my mom. It's borrowing something from someone else for you, for your own personal gain. And I'm here to tell y'all this morning, this is me. I've lived this way. And I don't imagine that I'm the only one. Whether it's in our marriages, whether it's in our business relations, whether it's in our Our church family relations? What have we sacrificed? What have we made promises, commitments? What have we done that has made us and our word not carry value? Where we feel like we need to do this, and Jesus ends with this statement. Anything more than this comes from evil. Because anything more than this, if you tie back to Genesis, the serpent, if you go all the way back to that place, Hunter talked about it a little bit this morning. Help me a little bit. Fall narrative. And how it repeats itself. Right? How it constantly repeats. In the Adam and Eve story, you've got Adam and Eve are deceived by the serpent. So there's a deception. But they see something and they take. Right? They take that. And you see it with Adam, Abram and Sarai. And when he goes to, I think, Egypt. And deceives. Abram becomes the deceiver. He deceives them and says, it's my sister. Because he knows if they see, they will take. And so in this text, he ends by saying, anything other than what I just said, it is from evil. It is a deception. Y'all hear that? It's a deception. It's me making a deception about my intent because I need to borrow integrity from something else to make my intent have any value. But if I'm doing that, the bigger question is, what have I done to not have value? This one's been hard for me. Because I make promises I don't keep. I make commitments I don't follow through with. Sometimes I mask that. Sometimes I try to find the loophole out of that instead of owning it. Instead of just saying, that's all me. My prayer for each of us this morning is if you find yourself in this like I found myself in this, if you see the true heart and intent of Jesus' words, because the true heart and intent of this one and the next two that he's going to talk about, retaliation and loving your enemy, that these three kind of go hand in hand. Because I, you know, the guys that I listen to, it's like, yeah, can I borrow your donkey? I know that sounds silly. But can I borrow your donkey? And the guy says, no, you can't borrow my donkey. I swear an oath that I will return your donkey. Okay, you can take my donkey. And he takes the donkey and he kills the donkey. And he says, well, my oath was based on something that there's an exit strategy. So now we fall into the retaliation category, right? You killed my donkey, what am I going to do to you? So I kill your donkey. And then what do we have? Enemies. All relational within people. All the ability, and we can go as broad on that as you want, or as finite on that. We have a tendency in the broadness of that statement to be, okay, I have a just in case. I've got Jesus. Where the harder is in a marriage, and with your kids, with your family, and not being someone who can be trustworthy, a man or a woman of your word. But when you say yes to something, or you say no to something, you're committing yourself to that. Can we be that person? Can Kevin be that person? I want to close with a prayer, and then we'll be led in an invitation song this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to come before you and confess my struggle in this arena. My struggle with not always being a man of my word. Someone who can be trustworthy, reliable. Heavenly Father, thank you for helping me see me in this text. And help me to become that. And to earn the respect and trustworthiness of my wife, my kids, this church family. I believe wholeheartedly that you knew that Hunter needed to preach the last 2 weeks. But I also believe you knew I needed to preach this one. Thank you for allowing me to hear it. Lord, my prayer is that if there's anybody else out in this congregation this morning that needed to hear this message, that you make it loud in their ears, that they hear it and they see it. Lord, we're thankful for your son who did sacrifice his life for us, for our failures. But help that not to overshadow the necessity to live as transformed believers. Lord, we love you so much. And we thank you ultimately for your son. We ask all these things in your most precious and holy name. Amen.